What's the coolest movie you have seen so far this summer? Just out of curiosity, throw them out there. Okay, I started with some really like Top Gun, and then I heard some Doctor What? Oh man, I wanted to see that. I haven't seen it yet. That's Thor God. Thor, Love and Thunder. Yes. There is nothing more manly than a giant sword thing. I don't know. What is it? I don't know. All right. So just out of curiosity, how many of you are only going to watch that movie once? Just out of curiosity. Right? You're like, Top Gun was so good, I'm never going to watch it again. Anybody? No, of course not. Because if it's something that's really, really good, you're going to want to watch it over and over and over again. And chances are, the second time could even be better than the first one. Seriously. Because there's going to be parts of the movie that you definitely missed the first time. Right? Or maybe you're going to be like, man, I actually understand that part, because now you know the end, so you can go back to the beginning like we did yesterday and be like, oh, now I understand why they did that. Right? Or maybe you watched Top Gun and you were like, man, I got to watch the first one. And you watch the first one and you watch the second one and you're like, this is so much better knowing the backstory. Maybe? No? All right. Did anybody like Jurassic Park? Just out of curiosity. Just a couple of you. I heard it was good, but it wasn't as good as some of the other ones. Is that fair? All right. No? All right. Just curious. I want to watch it still. All right. Well, today we're going to share a story with you that you have probably heard before. All right? And sometimes in our minds, we get this kind of arrogance where we're like, man, I've heard this before. I don't need to hear it again. But in reality, the more we hear something, the more we pick up from it. And hopefully, each time you read it, you're kind of like, I get it just a little bit more. And that's what I'm praying happens today. Because how many of you have heard the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people? Anybody? All right, so most of you have heard that story. If you haven't, whew, you're in for a humdinger this morning. How many of you have heard humdinger in the last 20 years? Yeah, okay, a few of you. Some of you are like, I haven't lived that long, but I haven't heard it before. You speak gibberish. Yeah, sometimes. So we're going to go ahead and look at John chapter 6 today, and we're going to talk about Jesus being the bread of life. Before we even get to that, though, we have the feeding of the 5,000. And I don't think it's an accident that Jesus taught about being the bread of life immediately after feeding 5,000 people. But as we go through this, look for things that maybe you haven't seen before. Things that are just kind of like, man, I never thought about that story in that way. So if you're there, I'm going to jump in right away at John chapter 6. And we're going to read through the first 15 verses. And then we're going to jump over to verse 25 through 40 after that. So 1 through 15 to start. It says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. Now, John actually wants us to see something pretty incredible in this, and that's why he mentions that the Jewish Passover festival was drawing near, right? Because what happened at Passover? Well, Passover was the last kind of miraculous thing that Moses did when he took the Israelites way, way long ago out of Egypt, right, where they were treated as slaves and was going to bring them to what he called the Promised Land. So Passover was the last one. The actual miraculous sign was that the oldest male, sorry, oldest males in your family, all were killed. Unless you had the blood of the lamb over the entrance. Okay? And so all of the Israelites knew this, and they put the blood of the lamb over the entrance, and this like angel of death passed over their houses, and the oldest male lived. Okay? So John wants us to know that. What happened after the Passover? Well, the Pharaoh, the Egypt guy, was like, man, get these guys out of here. So they left, and Moses went up on a hill and received the Ten Commandments. Okay? How many of you are familiar with the Ten Commandments? Yeah. All right? So all of this is really important in setting the stage here, because what is Jesus doing? This is crazy, right? Jesus, leaving the crowds, where did he go? He went up on top of a mountain and sat down with his disciples. He's almost like recreating some of this scene for us. A new kind of exodus, so to speak. A new kind of exiting Egypt and going up onto the mountain and bringing down. And then this crazy thing happened after the whole, you know, mountainside, God showing up in the mountain thing. Are you ready? The Israelites went out into a desert. Now, how many of you liked breakfast for real this morning? Okay, some of you didn't raise your hands. I'm sorry. I expected everybody to raise their hand. Don't tell the staff that you didn't like it. Guys, imagine eating that same breakfast for 40 years. But even more, imagine it shows up on the ground as you walk in the morning. For 40 years. Isn't that crazy? Because that's what happened. The Israelites left Egypt. They went through the desert. And every single morning, there was this stuff that is, what is it? Manna. Manna means what is it? And they're like, oh, bread from heaven. And they're like, man, this is so good. I imagine the first day it was really good, right? After 40 years of it, I'm not sure they thought it was nearly as good as what they did the first day. But all of this is setting the stage for what Jesus is about to do. He's like, remember all of this history? Check it out. This is what happens after that. All right, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. What do you think he was going to do, given the history? Man, you guys are quiet. All I have to do to get you quiet is ask a question. That's fantastic. It's like I'm teaching math all over again. I'd be like, what's 2 + 2? I'm not going to answer it. The risk is too high. I could get it wrong. That'll be the laughing stock of the earth. Yeah, he's going to call down bread from heaven, guys. He's going to recreate this manna thing. He's setting them up. Now, sometimes I don't like it when people do that to me, right? They ask a question, they already know the answer before they ask it. They're just trying to see if I know it. That's a little annoying, but I think I might have just done that to you. I'm sorry. Moving forward, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him. I love Philip here. It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. He sees the problem. We need to feed these people. But there's a lot of people, and we don't have a lot of food. How in the world can you possibly do this? In verse 8, it says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. I love his answer, right? So you're looking around, and there's 5,000 people, right? Right? That need to be fed. And this guy comes, and he goes, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Look what I did, Jesus. I got you this much. Yay, right? It's like the person who says, hey, let's go back to school shopping, and someone comes back, and they're like, here's a pencil. Got any more? No, but I found a pencil. You're good. Go to school, guys. Yeah, with that pencil. That's what he's doing, right? I just got this wee little amount, and somehow this is going to feed all of these people. And he says that, but how far will they go among so many? Not very far. I can answer that one. All right, verse 10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. How many did they have before that? They had 5. And how many did they collect? 12. Jesus just did some math there, right? He subtracted a negative number. It's crazy. Some of you are thinking about that now. What? Oh, minus a negative. He ended up with more than what they had. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now, how many people are in this room? Maybe 200, 250? Do you think 5 loaves and 2 fish would be enough to feed you all? I mean, what if we changed it? What if we made it modern? What if it was 5 Chipotle burritos? No, hey, was that a good O or a bad O? That's important. Good, okay, there we go. Yeah, absolutely. And 2 T-bones, right? 16 ounces. What's a T? Oh, no. Steak. It's okay. I grew up on a farm. All right. I didn't, but my grandpa owned a farm. All right, T-bones, and be enough to feed everyone. No, there's no way that 5 Chipotle burritos and 2 T-bones would be enough to fill all of us, right? It might be enough to fill me, but then there probably wouldn't be any. Okay, I couldn't eat 5 Chipotle burritos. Those things are insane. But then he goes on to say that's 200 days' wages. There's that many people. There's 5,000 men, which means there's likely even more people than that. And Jesus is going to feed every single one of them. Do you see the size of this miracle? Because sometimes we hear this story and it's like, oh yeah, he fed 5,000 people. That's great. No, do you realize the challenge of showing up with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feeding till everybody's content 5,000 people? This is nothing short of a miracle. All right? It's insane what Jesus is doing here. And then you put it up against the Passover, right? Jesus going up on a mountain, a miraculous provision of bread. Jesus is basically kind of like Moses in this moment. Right? He goes up to the mountaintop, meets with God, calls for bread down from heaven, and it comes. And so this is the context. Every single person sitting there is kind of like, dude, this guy's like Moses. And he's like the hero, right? Who would be the hero to you guys from like hundreds of years ago? You'd be like, man, he's Abe Lincoln. Man, he's like George Washington. Some of you could be like, he's like LeBron James, recreated. Okay. I tried. And you get this by the end, because what do they do at the very end of this passage? They say, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. What did they mean? Go to Deuteronomy 18, if you don't mind. Go to Deuteronomy 18. I know that's pretty far back, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. It's back there, all right, from the very beginning. We're looking at chapter 18. They're referencing this prophet guy. Maybe Jesus is this prophet. Well, look at verse 15 of chapter 18 in Deuteronomy. It says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you." This is Moses speaking. the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. Context, the people were afraid of God. So they're like, send somebody else to go to God instead of me, because I'm terrified, okay? And he's like, I'm going to send somebody like me. In verse 17, it says, the Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. And the people see this incredible sign of Jesus, and they go, this is it. This is it. This is the guy like Moses. This is the guy like Moses, the great leader who came and rescued us from our slavery, who started us out on the journey to our own political nation, where we were free from Romans, we were free from Egyptians, we were a free people, and we could live in peace and safety. And finally, God is bringing us another one like Moses. Jesus, bringing them another Jesus. But what does Jesus do? This shocks me every single time I read it. Every time I read it, what does Jesus do in this moment? We're like, man, here's the prophet. Let's make him king. This is what we should do. This is what we've been waiting for. Jesus, in verse 15, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Why? Why would Jesus run at this point? Why would he withdraw by himself when the people are ready to put him in power? I mean, honestly, if someone was like, you know what? I'm going to make you king of your school. Here you go. How many of you would be like, nah, I don't want that kind of power. I don't want to decide what we're going to have for lunch that day. Oh, that'd be terrible. How many of you would be like, I'm out? Probably not a lot of you. I think when we're all faced with that kind of power, like we like run to it. And yet Jesus said, nuh-uh, I actually have something better than what you're thinking. I have something better than what you're thinking. And so I want you now to jump to verse 25. I want you to jump to verse 25 with me. Because in this section, we're going to find out why Jesus left. And he said, no, I'm not going to take this position that you want to give me. I'm going to give you something better. So let's read it, verse 25. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, teacher, when did you get here? He had just walked on water, by the way, which is pretty phenomenal. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Whew. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give me? Well, give us, right? Will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Not 5,000, gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Here comes the mic drop. This is insane, right? All of this whole conversation is happening. This is what Jesus says. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Did you hear the mic drop? Give me this bread that will feed me forever. I am this bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Last day. We've already kind of talked about my first question, right? John's first question. How do we know Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? Well, we saw the feeding of the 5,000. No man can do that, right? He sets himself up as a Moses type, the prophet that was to come. So we get to the second question. How is the life Jesus wants to produce in us different than the life that we have otherwise? Well, what does he give us here? It's this statement. Jesus fills our deepest need. Jesus fills our deepest need. Write that down if you got a notebook. This is the kind of life that Jesus wants to give us. When we believe in Jesus, he meets our deepest need. Our deepest need. Jesus knows that we have needs. He fed the 5,000, obviously, right? They were hungry. He fed them. He's a good God. We think of things like Matthew 6, 25 through 34, where he says, do not be anxious for food and clothing, for you know that your Father wants to give you all of these things. We see in Matthew 8, 1 through 4, he restores a leper from society, because you see, a leper was so like dirty to people that they wouldn't let him come near anybody else. So he was socially outcast. For the rest of his life, it was going to be like COVID. You're stuck in your room isolating to yourself because you have this skin disease that was completely out of your control. And yet Jesus restores him because he understands that we have social needs too, to be a part of the community, to have friends, to have family. Jesus knows all of these things and he cares about them. But unfortunately, these things that we often look for aren't our biggest need. I mean, how often, just take a moment of introspection here, how often do we come to Jesus only looking for physical and social needs to be met? Right? How many times are our prayers filled with, Lord, give me food. Lord, give me a better relationship with this. Lord, let me be part of the cool crowd. Right? Please, Lord, help me be 6'5" so I can be a small forward in the NBA. That may or may not have been my prayer at your guys' age. He didn't answer it. And now a 6'5" player in the NBA is a point guard. I don't have any hope for basketball. I mean, I remember prayers at your age. I'd be like, Lord, help me get married. I want to get married someday. I want a girl to like me real bad. But I'd be focused on all of these things, and they aren't my biggest need. And so again, I ask you, how much of our lives are we living looking for stuff like bread? Right? Because if you ate this for breakfast, by the time you get to lunch, guess what? You're hungry again. It didn't fulfill your deepest need. And if I have it at lunch, then I'm going to need it for dinner. All right, someone's listening. Good. But we spend all of our lives working for things that are not even our biggest need. I learned this really interesting thing about weight loss, right? It turns out that the hunger system is the same for thirst and hunger. So if you get dehydrated, your body just says, hungry. And so what do? You run to food. Oh, I'm so hungry. But in reality, you're actually thirsty. Your biggest desire isn't being met. You're chasing after these other things, hoping that they're going to fulfill your greatest need, but you don't realize that your greatest need isn't any of those things. And so we chase after power. We chase after popularity. We chase after all of these things, which are not bad things, but they aren't our deepest need. You see, our deepest desire, the greatest need, more than hunger, more than thirst, more than relational status, more than social status, more than our sexual identity, more than fame, more than money, is a relationship with God Himself. That is your deepest need. Everything else that you want, everything else that you chase after is food when you're actually thirsty. Jesus is your greatest need. A relationship with God Himself. Moses was a go-between. He was like a girl who passed the notes between the elementary lovebirds, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Check it once if you like me. Check it twice if you don't. And then someone would be like, ooh, and they pass it on to the next person. That was Moses, right? Because I can't talk to them myself. No. We have something greater than a go-between. Something greater than a Moses. We have God Himself in the flesh. God Himself in the flesh. And you too can have God in your life through Jesus Christ. He says, I am that bread. I am the bread that you long for. I am the bread that you long for. No human being can give you this. No human being, no human creation can fulfill this need. No video game is ever going to completely fulfill you. No amazing movie is going to be like, my life has changed forever. Nothing can satisfy like Jesus Christ. And so he says, life in me, it's like getting your greatest desire fulfilled, because your greatest desire is for me. It's for me. And so this morning, I want to ask you, I want to end with this question. Do you recognize your hunger for God? Do you recognize your hunger for God? Because sometimes we search for lots of things and we don't realize that it's actually a search for the one who created us. And so we have to start there. Do you recognize your hunger or desire for God? Or are you confusing that hunger for something else? Or are you confusing that hunger for something else? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the bread from heaven. I thank you, Lord, that if we go to you in our thirst, we will be satisfied. Clear our hearts and our minds that we might recognize our incredible and desperate longing for you, Jesus. Give us enough time to patiently look at our lives and all of the things that we want and see how you are at the center of our deepest longing. And we praise you that when we come to you, when we do the hard work of faith and believe in you, we will have our greatest desire met. And we can live a life that is fully satisfied because we have Jesus Christ. As we go through our day and even get ready for the chapel this evening, Lord, help that come back to our mind over and over and over and over again. My deepest desire, what is it? And help us to recognize that it's you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I think we have Devo time. No Devo time? I don't. Man, I'm all over the place. You already had it. Whoa. Okay, so your leaders know where you're